Thanks, Johnny. Now, all the children like to come forward because I think Mark's got something to say.
How are you going there, guys? So any kids who aren't down the front that want to come down? Any big kids that want to come down? Randall's... I do see you, Randall. You're sitting there going, oh, I wish I had a grandchild or something here that I could just take down. Yeah. Oh, no, I get it. Hey, so, guys, how are we going? That's good. Now, Vonnie is away at the moment and Angela is away at the moment, and what we've been doing is we've been doing a bit of choreography to the Bible verse. And I said to Vonnie sort of somehow's put me in the middle of this one right now, because I did mention to her that I don't do choreography. I've got two left feet. I don't do choreography, but what I did some research. So I did some research, and what I discovered was that you've got to take on a bit of an image if you are going to be in charge of choreography. So the first thing that I learned. That people that are good at choreography, that they always get sunburn on the back of their neck or their ears because they never wear the hats the right way. And they do lots of nodding. And they point a lot. They do. And if you ask them a question that they agree with, they have a fascination with furniture. Did you know that? So they say, if I was to say to you something like, you know, do you like my hat? Or if you said, do you like my hat? I would go, chair. Ain't that true? And the really good choreographers, they always say things like word, okay, as well. I don't know what that means, but they do say word. So I need some help with some choreography right now. So, oh, you want to come and help me? Okay, come out here. Now, the other thing that I did discover was that they have... You've got to be... Oh, okay, he doesn't want to be the part. So who else is going to help me choreography? He says, oh, who do you think should help us? Who do you think should... Your dad. Come on down, Dad. See, now if Dad's coming up, you've got to come and help him out as well, haven't you? Do you want to have a hat too? You're going to come. Oh, okay. How are you going? Now, I also did find out something, was that you have to have a cool name. So my cool name is Iced Snoopy. I don't know why, but it is. Okay, so and what's going to be your choreography name?
B-Dog.
B-Dog. Okay, B-Dog, you've got to get your... Dog. Yeah, okay, so you've got to get the... I don't know where you get sunburnt the most, but it's not on the nose, okay? That's the only thing. So, yep, okay, well, now do we need... We need another choreographer to help me out here, don't we? Who else should we have? Oh, no, you've already picked someone, so is anyone... Who else should we have out here, do you think? Or is all these parents desperately staring at the floor? Which guy over where? You're going to choose Donnie? Oh, no, Donnie. Okay, Donnie, you've got to come out here. Word. Can you stand over there? Over chair? Good. Okay, now. Yeah, what's your name?
5 cents.
5 cents. Wow. It's amazing what deflation will do. Okay. So, Now, we've got some actions that we've been doing. We've got some actions that we've been doing, haven't we? I know there's some that go like this. Is that right? Okay, what word do we say when we do this? Bless. That's a pretty cool word. That's a pretty cool word.
Can we stop the videoing, please? Just no video.
That's no flash photography, that's all. Okay, so we're gonna get everybody to stand up for us, please. Stand up for us. And now... The words, for those that may not know them all off by heart, do happen to be on the side wall over there as well, which is handy. Okay. Now, The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, what was the actions for poor in spirit? Does anyone remember? It was this one, wasn't it? Yes, okay. So, we're going to, all together. You right there? Word. Chair? Okay. Rightio. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who do hunger for thirst after and righteousness. Oh, for righteousness. Oh, that's right, yeah. For righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the, what was merciful? Are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the new one is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who reckons that's pretty good? Where do we find that? Yo! Wow, Matthew 5, 3 to 10. Word. Round of applause for Vida and for 5 cents. I'm not Snoopy. Peace out. Let's go up, kids.
Our Bible reading comes from Acts chapter 2 this morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. And the heading on the paragraph in this Bible is, "The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost." When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what happened, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine." Amen.
Thanks, Arthur. Pentecost. Do you know when that is in the Christian calendar? It's coming up. It's actually next Sunday. Next Sunday is actually where we would normally celebrate Pentecost. Now, I'm not sort of necessarily jumping ahead of us, but this was our last week on focusing on to the ends of the earth, what God was doing way beyond us and how we can support God's mission to the extent of things that are way outside of our reach. And I was particularly interested in this event that took place on the day of Pentecost, when all of these people from all these different places were in Jerusalem. And they had come on a pilgrimage, most of them. Some of them may have come back and lived there, but many of them would have come on a pilgrimage. There were a number of the festivals, Jewish festivals, that were associated with a tradition of pilgrimage back to Jerusalem for these particular special events. Now, I'm not fully up into all the festivals and things in the Jewish calendar, but We had Passover, which was when Jesus was crucified, which was to celebrate the coming out of Egypt and the time when God saved his people out of that slavery. And then Passover was linked with God giving the law on the Mount Sinai, which is supposedly 7 weeks or approximately 50 days later. And Pentecost just means 50 days. So that 50 days after the deliverance out of Egypt, the law was given, and those two festivals became part of what the Jews celebrated. It also, the Feast of Pentecost, got associated with the beginning of harvest, the first fruits of a harvest. And so it was called the Festival of Weeks and the Festival of First Fruits. So there's a couple of things that got mixed up into what they were celebrating by the time they came to Jesus' time. And so these were significant events in the Jewish calendar. And what we interestingly see is that Jesus is crucified on one and the Holy Spirit comes on another. God is showing that these have always had significance and now he was giving them a new significance under the new covenant. A time when God comes to save his people out of their bondage through Jesus. A time when the Holy Spirit comes as the first fruits of the church that was to be born out of Jesus' ministry. And so these two events show us something of God's purpose and plan long term, not just at this particular point in time. Now, during the history of the Israelites, you may or may not know a lot about their history, but basically they come out of Egypt, they go into the promised land, and they don't have any particular structure, governance structure, apart from, first of all, Moses leading them and Joshua. And then it moves over to a series of judges, which were people who were known to be wise, who would give leadership through it. And then the people ask for a king, and they get their king, Saul. He's not a great king, not a great example, and God chooses David, so they have David, and that's God's chosen person, and his son Solomon, who builds the temple. And so they really consolidate the whole people of Israel, Jewish people, under that sort of leadership. And then it all starts to go downhill from there. And the kings that follow don't obey God, and God judges the people, and then some are good and they get back in God's favour. And during that period of time, as things go downhill, God allows, because of their disobedience, other nations to come and defeat them and carry them off and disperse them all over the place. And so this is part of the reason that the Jews were in all these different places. Some had been carried off, some had fled because of the persecution. And I wonder if we could throw that slide up, Joseph, of where all these people had come from on the day for the festival and on the day of Pentecost. So we can see Jerusalem in the middle, and it pretty much starts from the east, goes down the different peoples, and across the top through into Asia. What is now Turkey would be pretty much what they called Asia, down through Arabia, Egypt, Cyrene, which is heading across there towards Libya, and up to Rome, as far as Rome, and Crete. I'm sure they would have preferred to be called Cretans rather than Cretans, but but that's actually where we get our word Cretan from, because they were lazy, as the Bible says, they were lazy and not very smart people. So we can see, in a sense, what is showing us here is that people from all of the known world, the Jews have been scattered into all these places, and they have come back, many of them, either to live in Jerusalem or do a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this festival. And they're gathered there, and they're present when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, and Peter goes out and makes this great speech. But first, before he makes that speech, they're all praising God, and the miracle is that everybody hears it in their own language. Now, we don't know whether they actually spoke different languages or whether just God allowed them to hear it in their own language, but it was a miraculous thing that people thought, how can this be, because they're not... They don't know our language, and yet we hear our language being spoken. Some people actually, when they think about this, also think that this is a way that God is reversing what he did at Babel. When all of the people had one language, and they were plotting to be great and in their own eyes, and God gave dispersed them out by giving them different languages. They couldn't understand one another, so they spread to the ends of the earth. God brings back people of all different languages and now speaks to them in one language that they all understand. And so a sense of reversal of that. So once God scattered people because of their disobedience and gave them different languages, now God is wanting to bring people of all languages, tribes and nations back to himself through what he has done through Jesus, that is now sort of sealed on the day of Pentecost. Now the interesting thing is that all these people went, or many of these people would have gone back, and many of them would have taken with them the experience of the day of Pentecost. Many of them would have become part of that beginning of the early church. And we actually find a number of times in Acts that when they've gone out on their missionary journeys, not only did they find people, faithful Jewish people, but people who are already exploring what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, not understanding it very well because they probably only were there for a few days or a week and had a bit of an experience of that and then went back. So from coming there central, the word goes out. In addition to that, there was persecution after Stephen's stoning that forced people out again. So this spreading of the Jews all over those areas gave them an inroad to go and start with people who understood the background of God's story to all people and then explain how Jesus was the fulfillment of that and take it further. So Jesus basically said, as part of his last words, go into all of this world, and it goes beyond what's up there, that was their known world, to every race, every nation and every tribe, and, well, Jesus didn't say that, but the Bible says that, and make known the good news of what God has done through Jesus. Now, as we're thinking about this, this is pretty much what we take when we understand a missional challenge, that we are going to send those people who feel called to these far distant places to take the good news of Jesus and relate it and bring it to that culture. And I think that is an amazingly great thing. People like Moana and Billy who have felt called to go from Mizoram across to Thailand. People like Mal and Tim who go from Australia to Malawi. Sorry, mental block. This is fantastic. And one way that we can personally help the gospel spread into these other places is by supporting those who feel called to go. And maybe even feeling a call ourselves to go, short term, long term, or whatever. I mean, even the visit that you guys did was in part supporting the work of what is going on. And so that we have opportunities in lots of different ways to invest and be part of that sort of a missional movement, cross-cultural in another place. But I want to suggest there's another way, and I hinted at this last week when we talked about the Ethiopian, and that is, sometimes God sends people from the ends of the earth to us. And Australia is one country that's experienced a lot of this. We have a lot of immigration. A lot of our population comes from other places. Now, it wasn't always the way, although, you know, we had the white Anglo-British settlements that came and joined the Aboriginal people as part of our nation and began to form the mix of people that we know today. The first waves of all of that was very intent on making us an outpost of British race and culture. And so we have this spread of the early history of Australia that was all mostly migration from England, Ireland, and that sort of area. But soon it began to grow and people from other places started to come, particularly the Chinese during the gold rush. And so we had a massive influx of people from all different places during the gold rushes. And this began to create the first seeds of concern about what sort of country do we want to be? And so Australia decided it would pretty much limit migration. And we had a very limited migration policy right through until the 1950s, where particularly people of Asian background were not allowed to come here. And we had very complicated ways of filtering out through language tests and all sorts of things, people that we didn't want to come to Australia. So there's this thing, we wanted to have a closed country that was all basically a British background of culture and stop different sorts of people, different races of people coming to Australia. It was never couched quite in those terms in our official documentation, but if you look at some of the parliamentary discussions, it was very much in those terms. Preserving the country for us and our way of life. Beginning in 1966 under Harold Holt, that began to open up. And by the time of Gough Whitlam, 1973, 74, that was all changed, and there was no barrier to race, religion, or anything else for people coming to Australia. And now we have a significantly multicultural country. People from all these different countries coming to us. Now, living here, you wouldn't really notice much of that, but if you live in Melbourne or Sydney, it is obvious everywhere you look that we are a very multicultural country now. Now, it does create some issues and some problems, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but I am wanting to say that maybe God's behind this. Maybe God is the one who's bringing these people to us in a country where it is free to share the gospel. There are no barriers to us expressing our faith and belief, although some of that is changing. As you'll know, the media doesn't particularly like us being vocal about what we believe are God's principles, and there's a bit of backlash on that. We're not particularly popular Christians at the moment, but we're not suffering persecution like happens in most of the rest of the world. So why would God do this? To make it hard for us? To create tension? Or to give us an opportunity? And I would say that God's always about opportunity, about crossing every boundary there is to bring the gospel to people. Up until this point, the Jews pretty much believed they were it. No one else was going to be favoured by God. You could become a Jew by becoming a proselyte, changing to be a Jew, living like a Jew, doing all the cultural things like a Jew, and committing to serve the one true God. But basically that was a very minority thing of people. And so the Jews believed as they went out, they were to preserve their little cultural way of doing things, wherever they were, and not to integrate at all. But then God breaks through giving Peter a vision that it's not unclean to relate to those to people who are not Jewish. And suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and brings conversion to Gentiles. This blows their mind. This doesn't happen. You don't cross those boundaries. They're the wrong sort of people. You know, different religion, different culture. How can God be coming to them? But he does. And so they begin to change their mind and missional movements take place, crossing cultural barriers, crossing racial barriers, crossing socioeconomic barriers. The gospel was very much about, it's not about what you own, what you possess, what your wealth is. It's about your relationship with God through Jesus. And so now we have this multicultural community, society, and God wants us to be barrier-crossing people, not to see these as things that get in the way of the gospel, but see them as opportunities. Perhaps on the Sunshine Coast, we're not surrounded by lots and lots of people of all different cultures, races, and backgrounds. But there are plenty here who we could relate to. And I'd like to suggest that we can be a bit like the Jews and just want to hang around with people like us and believe that we're the ones that God wants to do stuff in, and they're just another religion, they're another race, they're not part of us. Or we could be open like God is to all people everywhere. And just be open to be a friend, to be a support. People who have come to a new country, look after them, explain stuff to them, connect with them, network them, and all sorts of things. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but maybe God will give you an opportunity to connect with someone who's come from another country. Now, there's a number of possible things that can come out of that. One is, you discover they're people just like you. You come to love them and have a great friend. Two is that as they perhaps come to know Jesus, then they will not only become part of God's family here, but they'll have friends here, connections here. They'll have friends back home and connections back home from where they've come from. Even if they've come as refugees, maybe they've been dispersed to other countries, some of their relatives and things. And today, with the ease of communication, they can share what's happening in their life, the faith that they've come into, and the things that God can do in their life with others. And so the capacity for God to cross all sorts of boundaries is amazing with social media and different ways of communicating that we have now. And so I want you to think that if God brings these people where it's free to share the good news, what are we doing to take advantage of that? What are we doing to actually communicate openly to some of these people about the joy of knowing Jesus? And maybe you could really think intentionally about that. And I don't think everyone's got to race out and look for a person of another ethnicity and try and communicate with them, but just be open to where God might give you that opportunity to connect with someone, whether someone moves into your neighbourhood, whether they're someone you work with, whether they're someone you play sport with, whether they're someone you just happen to meet in a coffee shop or something. Instead of looking at them as a stranger and a bit different, treat them just like everybody else. Have a conversation. Because many of them will feel that they're the alien, the different person. And it will mean a lot to them to know that people just welcome them and accept them and treat them as normal rather than as different. And this is something about the heart of God. So much in the Bible is about God caring for those who are the aliens, the downtrodden, the widows, the poor, the strangers, the refugees. It's there right through from Old and New Testament. And our culture is becoming more and more nationalistic and taking this sort of patriotism of we want to keep what we've got and stop you from getting in and taking any of it away from us. And that is so anti-gospel. The gospel is about putting ourselves second and putting the other first. It's about loving the stranger and the poor and those who are in dire straits, opening our hearts to them and connecting with them and trying to bring them to a better place and not thinking what it'll cost me, but thinking of what it could benefit them. And I see an awful lot of stuff that gets me quite angry on Facebook and lots of other places that Christians post without a thought of whether this is actually a gospel value or principle that I'm talking about here. Often a lot of it is about selfishness, preserving my place of wealth and privilege. It's about me not being threatened by people who are different. As Christians, we can't hold those positions and stand before God and say, yeah, I did it in your name. No. I want you to think before you like stuff, post stuff, or engage in some of those conversations, am I acting on the principles of the gospel, the kingdom of God, or am I acting nationalistically, selfishly? I love Australia. I want Australia to be strong and proud, but I also love God and the kingdom of God more. And the kingdom of God is about inclusiveness, about loving others, about helping other people come to know God and be part of his kingdom, not about excluding them on any other basis. Now, I know for some of you this might be stirring the pot, but I think we've got to come back to what is God at work doing here? We're talking about God's mission, our mission. If God's mission is to reach every tribe, nation, and race and person, every socioeconomic strata in all of this society and the world, then we've got to be on that mission, not on the mission of preserving a privileged lifestyle for ourselves, whether that means our country will change, and it will. Just go on and look at Wikipedia on the White Australia policy, which in actual fact never existed. It was just about limiting migration, and see all the things from back in the 1800s to today, the arguments are all the same. They just recycle, recycle, recycle about what will be the danger if we let people into our country. But God is bringing people from all places to us, allowing us to interact with them, to change us, and to give opportunity for his kingdom to come. And so as we think about how God brought these people and spread them back out again to extend his kingdom, God's bringing people here. Some of them will go back as to people of their own ethnicity. They'll know the culture. They'll be able to communicate the gospel in relevant and meaningful ways and be far more effective than any one of us probably could be, of a different culture, different background, going over there to do it. So pray for those people that God is bringing here into our country. Look for opportunities to, in any way, befriend them and show them that God loves them and maybe have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Many of them coming here are already Christians and would love to be in a supportive network of others who would help them to grow in their faith and support them as they try and reach back into their own cultures and communities and family and social networks. Let's be part of that positive process of God and not jump easily on the bandwagon of all the negatives about migration and people of other religions and all of the rest of it. So, our challenge is, are we on God's mission or are we on our own mission? God's mission is to reach all of those people. Will we be part of that if God gives us an opportunity? Even if you don't have an opportunity, start praying for those who do. Start praying for an opportunity to meet someone who perhaps you can begin to become a friend with, or at least show them some little kindness that will make them feel welcome in this country. Most of the stuff about radicalisation seems to indicate that it happens when people feel excluded, isolated, persecuted, and us against them thing forms. Let's break that down. Let's love them, accept them, appreciate what they bring, and minimise that opportunity to happen. We're going to stop it all. It will happen. Bad things are going to happen to good people. We know that. But let's make our effort to see that be minimal rather than more probable. So pray, act, love, serve, and let God do the work in their lives. And as our attitudes change, as we reflect on what the gospel says to us about a lot of this, perhaps our whole society's attitude will begin to change too. Too often we've been too quick to jump on the bandwagon of those who want to defend out of selfishness. And yet we do want to keep our stuff and our way of life. But maybe God's going to call us to give some of that up so that others can come to know him. Maybe I've stirred the pot a bit this morning, but I think we have to think about if we're on God's mission, we've got to be on God's mission, not on a nationalistic mission of preserving an Australia that we want to have, but maybe God wants that to be different. Love and serve your country, but recognise that we are part of the world, not just Australia. Even this week, there's articles in the paper about how Donald Trump is saying that we've got to get back to a strong national sovereignty and only let the people we want come in to America. And basically people saying that's what we need in Australia. Maybe, maybe not. Let's pray that we would make decisions that honours God, not preserves just what we want. Let's pray. Lord, you have a mission to reach every person, every nation, every tribe on this planet. And we have opportunities to serve you in that by supporting those who go to those places. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have to do that, the resource and finance and freedom we have to do that, and pray that we will be diligent and committed to doing that. But also, Lord, those who come to us, you bring into our sphere of influence, I pray that we'll also have a heart to love and reach out to them as well. And the Lord, when as a nation we are making decisions out of selfishness, maybe we can speak up and be a voice, a positive voice against that too. I pray, Lord, that you would guide and lead each one of us, and that we would form our convictions out of a reading of your word and understanding of your kingdom, not just out of natural human desires or selfishness. Only you can guide us, Lord, and we will come to some different views. Help us not to be conflicting with one another, but just encouraging one another to keep exploring, accepting that we'll come to different places, but mostly be striving towards understanding what you're doing and what will extend your kingdom. We ask this, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.